This is Forrest Solis interviewing Jan Spreiser on June 22nd, 2015 at 1:19 for the Creative Push Project. Okay, so we can get started. So can you maybe take us back to the time when you were pregnant or at labor delivery, just to situate us in time? You know, what was the season? Was there any memorable event happening? Anything like that?
Yes. One thing that I will always remember is that I was probably about 4 to 5 weeks pregnant when 9/11 happened. And so I remember sitting and watching that on TV and thinking, I'm so sick. I feel so sick right now. I don't know if it's because I'm pregnant or if it's because I'm just sick about this whole thing. And aside from that experience, I also remember through my pregnancy having people make comments to me in relation to that event. And just, you know, kind of sadness about, you know, the child coming into the world at this time. So, yeah, that was, that is something that I will always remember as part of my pregnancy experience.
Yeah. Can you talk about the, like, actualities of being pregnant? Did you enjoy the experience, and, you know, how did it impact you physically?
I did. My initial, when I initially became pregnant, I was my body was very negatively affected, in that I had all of what you experienced negatively. I broke out. I lost weight. I lost about 12 pounds. Of course, I threw up all the time. I couldn't drink enough water. I couldn't keep anything down. It was, the first 3 months were not fun. But after that, when the illness went away, it was really one of the best times of my life, I think, because it seems so selfish, but you get a lot of attention, you know. It's just such a fun and exciting time. And not I didn't really plan the pregnancy. It was we were married, but we had decided to go ahead and wait. I actually had been off of the pill for a little bit, thinking maybe we wanted to do it, and then decided it would be smarter for us to just hold off for a little bit. And so when it happened, I can't say it was a surprise, because I wasn't protecting myself, but it was not really planned. So, however, I believe if it hadn't happened, I might never have had a child. I think at that point in time in my life, I was old enough to not be pushing it off anymore. So, I think it really was a precious time in my life.
That's nice. So can you tell us about, like, what led up to the delivery? You know, no detail is insignificant. Like, that, do you remember around the day or the day before, or were there any?
I chose to work up until I went into labor. I wasn't at work during the time that I went into labor, although it started off so mildly that it wouldn't have been a problem anyway. But I worked a third shift at the time in a laboratory, and I started my contractions at home that evening that I was to go to work. And I think I wasn't certain about whether I should go or not and decided to go ahead and call and say, I think it might be happening, which I did. And it was a long labor. I stayed home all night that night, and just kind of slept between my contractions. And of course had my laid on the lazy boy with my little notepad and my pen, marking down each time that I had my contractions so I could keep track of the times. And I believe it was the next morning, probably around 9 or so, went ahead into the hospital with the advice of my midwife. And it was still a really long waiting game in the hospital as well. So we didn't have a room for a while, and we finally got a room. It was just walking around the hospital. It was all day at the hospital, so it wasn't until 1:17 that next morning that I delivered her. So it was a long labor.
So you had a midwife. So
I did have a birth
plan.
Meaning I would have I would have a birth plan to like
natural,
where how we would do it.
Yeah.
The plan was not to have a plan. my midwife was very open. I knew I wanted to have her in the hospital. So the plan was to be in the hospital. And for my midwife to do everything that she could, and she apparently had a very great rate for no episiotomy. And she talked a lot about the oils that she used and just her techniques, whatever techniques those are, to help eliminate the need for an episiotomy. And then as far as pain control goes, the idea was to see how it goes. So I knew that I would like to have a natural birth if it seemed right, but I knew that I'd like to have the option to change my mind. So that's what I did. And I went for a good length of time without doing the epidural, but ultimately I had gotten to a certain point where I'd endured pain, which was maybe, I don't know, who knows, an hour, 2 hours worth of severe pain, and thinking that the next time they check me, if I know there's progress, okay, I can keep doing this, right? But they checked me and it was the same. That was the breaking point. That was the time to say, okay, who knows how much longer this has already gone, 30 hours, who knows how much longer this is gonna go. And I had gotten to the point where I had been in the shower and almost passed out, and so I was ready. So I did do the epidural.
Did you have family there with you?
Grace's dad was there, and my mother was there. And the older generation of men were in the waiting room, as normal, or as typical for their generation. When I had the... when I was starting to experience the severe pain, because to me the whole 30 whatever hours, it was 36 hours of labor, but 30, you know, 2 hours of that labor was just, you know, some pressure, a little bit of pain and some pressure. But when I hit that severe pain, one of the suggestions made by one of the nurses was to take a shower. Would you like to get in the shower? And the warm water might help you relax. So, okay, you know, let's do that. I'll get in the shower and, you know, get my clothes off and get in the shower. And I did. And I really, and I don't, maybe because I was standing now instead of laying down, it got really bad to the point where I thought I would pass out. And so I told the nurse I needed to sit down, which I did sit down. And I know from experience, if I'm going to pass out, I need to put my head down between my legs. That's all I need to do, and then I'm fine. Well, the nurse didn't want me to do that. She kept pushing my head up as I was trying to push my head down, and we had some words, and she let me recoup, which was what she needed to do. And then I got out of the shower, and that was shortly after that is when I had the epidural. So, and then I went to sleep, which I don't know how normal that is, but it was really nice. It was like, wow, that's a good thing. It's a good thing. I think I probably slept a good two or three hours before it was time to deliver. So
that seems ideal.
it was because, you know, you're awake for 36 hours and or 30 hours, whatever it may be, you're exhausted. Get a little sleep before it's time to do the real work. So it was really a great thing. And it wasn't that much work.
The pushing part? So can you talk us through that?
There's not much talking through to do on the pushing part, but I woke up and my midwife had decided to go home for a little while I slept, and so she was given orders to call when I was at a certain point. So when I do we want to so they called the midwife. And in the half hour's time it took her to come, she had very little time to be ready for the baby, because when it was time, it was just time. So I do remember that the baby's father did not want to be anywhere else but behind me. I remember also them having a mirror available, which I did not care to have, nor did he. Of course, he didn't want. But he also noticed that the TV was creating a reflection, which he asked to have moved as well. So once everything got set up just right for that, my mother was brought in. I think she had, well, she was in and out, but my mother was brought in. The midwife finally gave me the orders to push, which I did for, I want to say, 2 minutes tops, until she said stop. And of course, when you're in the middle of something like that that's just natural, you don't just stop. And so, needless to say, because I didn't stop, she did have to do an episiotomy, but out she came, and it was exciting because I was surprised. There's one thing that I was surprised about. We chose not to know the sex of the child, so I didn't know, but I really wanted a girl. But the thing that I was most surprised about was that was the furthest thing from my mind. So when she came out, her dad shouted, "It's a girl." And that was, I was of course delighted, but that was the most surprising thing to me was, I wasn't even thinking about that. Did not matter at all. So,
do you know what you were thinking about?
Just that it was okay, you know. It's all that really, you know. I think I don't know how much people, you know, I don't know how normal it is for people to be so curious and be so concerned about the sex, because I thought I was. But, you know, at that moment in time, it so didn't matter. It just, you know, really, really didn't matter at all. So it was just, yeah, it was just the concern that this little person was just going to be healthy and okay, normal. So,
Lizzie, that's really common that mothers will pretty much do anything for the health of their babies.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's why it's easy to convince people to have C-sections and things. And,
you know, that's true. Say, you just like, do oh, what people tell you
like, okay, do
is
it.
The right thing.
Whatever's good for things.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Well, so do you remember the moment that you saw the baby or did they put it on your chest?
What I remember when I first saw her, was that she seemed to be screaming from the top of her lungs, but it was so quiet. that was something that struck me as for some reason expected this, you know, screech coming from this, you know, little child whose, you know, head looks like he's ready to pop off because it's exerting so much energy, yet it's this tiny little cry. And yes, they put her on me directly, and I held her for a little while before they took her away and weighed her and measured her. And she had black hair, which was also surprising to me. We both, her father and I both have blonde hair. So another thing you would never ever expect. You just expect your child will come out with a color of hair you expect them to have. Which the black hair, of course, all fell out and replaced by blonde eventually. So
did you stay in the hospital for time after that?
I stayed in the hospital for that night and came home the following afternoon. It was in April, and I expected the weather to be nice, and I remember it being the first time so far that year that we had to turn the air conditioning on in the car when we were bringing our baby home. It was a hot April.
Do you remember getting her home and what it was like having her home? Did you nurse or?
I nursed, yes. When we brought her home, she had one of those little pink caps that they put on their head, still on her head, when we got to the house. And we had a dog who was, of course, like our baby until we had a baby, who, as soon as we walked in, I walked in carrying the baby and went to, the dog was very curious, and she jumped up and grabbed the little hat in her mouth and pulled it off the baby's head. And scared me. I realized at that point, okay, we need to set some rules here really fast. But they eventually, they hung out on the floor together all the time, so it was just a very curious and excited dog.
Was she a mellow baby?
She was very mellow. She was, it probably, after the first month to a month and a half, she began sleeping full nights, and she was a 12-hour a night sleeper when she got into the groove. So it did, when we went through the initial nursing process, to back up a little bit, in the hospital they had the lactation specialist there to help me do whatever I needed to do to make that happen, but it was really clear that it just wasn't time yet. It wasn't letting down, so they really, really pushed me to keep pushing her to work at it, and she would just get frustrated because there was nothing there. I believe it was about 3 days before I actually let down and there was anything there for her to actually latch on for. So, and it was with a glass of wine. I had been given that advice by my husband's ex-wife, who said, "You just need to have a glass of wine, just relax, and it'll happen." So I did, and it worked. And I felt guilty, of course, because I just had some wine. And but
Jeanette told me, Guinness.
Guinness. That's funny.
That's interesting. Let's see. Else. Is there anything else that you can think of? We're kind of asking people to think of a word or a grouping of words that kind of describes their experience, because we're separating these into themes. So we're kind of, you know, saying what the common threads are between the stories besides the baby.
Can you give me an example?
Gosh. So one woman said empowerment. You know, she.
Okay, so the experience as a whole.
Experience, or it could be, you know, anything really.
I mean, it's just a life-changing experience, so that's something that you're never the same after you have a child. So I mean, it's more. To me, yeah, sure, I could use empowerment. I mean, I could use, you know, rebirth. I mean, it's not only a birth of a child, but it's sort of a rebirth of a new person, you know. a new part of your life that has changed you in so many different ways. That's way too many words.
No, that was perfect.
That was perfect.
That was perfect.